paid for, right? So we're just so grateful to God, and thankful for all of your faithfulness in these things. And we just want to say glory to God, and may the Lord be magnified, and give him praise and give him glory. And then also, let me see, I want to give another announcement right here. I need a drum roll. All right. So praise the name of the Lord. Our fundraiser for our sound system, we've raised $12,000. So we are grateful. We are grateful. Glory to God. We got eight to go, right? Eight to go. And so I want to just thank the Lord. I want to thank each and every one of you. Thank you for your commitment, and thank you for your sacrifices and your giving. And we just want to lift that before the Lord and say praise his name. So, I'm asking that, you pray about what to give, how to give, commit to give. Every little bit helps, right? And you give how God wants you to give, but pray about it and commit to giving, all right? That is the very character and nature of being in Jesus in all things always. Pray about the fundraising. Pray about it, if you would. Lord, bless us there. Lord, you would just help us, bless us. That's what I mean by that. And so praise the Lord. I am looking forward to a new sound system. This is not a frivolous need. This is a great need that we have as a church body, right? And many times, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can't even, I know I got my own challenges, okay? I know that. But I can't even understand sometimes things that are being said. So we are in great need. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. All right. So glory to God. Expectation in God. This is the fourth part. I will bring it to an end regardless. And I want you to go, if you would, to 2 Corinthians in chapter 7. And we begin to talk about these things that are in the Lord. Things that how the Spirit of God brings things to light. Sometimes, and I want you to understand something. There's a weighing in the balance when the Holy Spirit brings things to light. The enemy wants to stop you and me in any way that he possibly can. One of his favorite works against the righteous, and he continues to do this, and that is the work of condemnation. And many times the Holy Spirit will bring something, let's just call it of a negative nature, if you want to call it that. That is of a negative nature, that which is not of the Lord, it'll come to light. It's the Holy Spirit that brings it to light. But without the light that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit, and what light is? Light is seeing the pathway of truth, that which is true, that which is of God, that which is not of God. That is light, that is understanding. The Holy Spirit is continually moving in you. Continually moving in me and bringing these attributes into our being. They come into our heart, they come into our spirit, they come into our mind. And what they do is they enlighten us. They enlighten us. And then that's the way. Haven't you had this experience before where you had something that wasn't of the Lord? Maybe you were young in God. Maybe you were a young Christian or whatever it was, and you had absolutely no conviction about something, a practice, a way, a manner or something, whatever it would be that you were doing that was not of the Lord, and you had no convictions about it whatsoever, especially before you knew the Lord. And then even when you first came to the Lord, you just didn't even think about it. It was just a part of you. And then all of a sudden it started bothering you. It started bothering you. And then you got to that place where it's like, I'm in this conflict, and I can't stand that thing anymore. And it just grows. And we've experienced that, haven't we? That is the work of light. That's the work of understanding. And that doesn't stop. It's not just when you become a new Christian. It goes on through all of your Christian life, you know, where the Lord keeps revealing. It may be, get to the place to where it's subtle. It may be so deep down that it's things that nobody else even sees, really, maybe, about you. But it's something that the Spirit of the Lord continues to do. What's happening is we're being clothed, the work of being clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the inheritance of the saints. We've been given the Holy Spirit. It's called the Holy Spirit of promise. You know, not only that, but the word of the Lord says we've been sealed in the Holy Spirit. You know, that is not once saved, always saved. That's not what that's saying. I'll deal with that maybe at a different time. But that's not what that's talking about, being sealed in the Holy Spirit. You know, we are sealed in the Holy Spirit to be His possession. We are sealed in the Holy Spirit that we may be His possession. And it is the mission, and it is the ministry, and it is the working of the Holy Spirit of God to bring us into the complete and fullness of that inheritance that we have in Christ. You know, the word of the Lord says that one day we shall be like Him. You know, we one day will we be like Him. We're being conformed to the image of Jesus. What is the Lord doing in your life? He's working out His grace. He's working out the character and that nature, that likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ in you and in me. And then one day, you know, one day in the final resurrection, I shall be made like Him in every way, and I'll see Him just as He is. Isn't that just absolutely amazing? You know, and that's another point, and I don't want to get off on it too much, but, you know, the more that we experience that conformity to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the more freedom of the flow of that revelation and that revealing and that communion, that visionary understanding that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we grow closer and more intimate with the Lord, you know, by being changed. This is how the Lord does it. So we understand that this is the work that the Spirit of the Lord is doing in our life, and we find that He deals with many things in our lives as we go forward, and so that we may know Him, that we may know Him. All right, now, so let me go back to this place right here. So what we're expecting in the Lord and what we've received in Jesus. Here's in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'm going to begin here as I dealt with this last week. But verse 1, therefore, having these promises, I plan to look at that a little bit as we go on. I was going to do it last week. I haven't done it, but I will. If therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement. And then look at this, of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Now, I broke down some things here last week, and I won't do all of that this week, but just to simply, you know, for example, understanding that word defilement, you know, what it means to stain or to soil or to be defiled. And I notice that he's talking about two areas here. One is of flesh, and then the other one is of spirit. That's very interesting, isn't it? You know, so we're not talking about just things that are outwardly sinful or outwardly not right of God, or just even simply attitudes in themselves. These are things that sometimes they run deep in the life of the believer. You know, one would say, I said this last week, one would say, well, you know, I don't understand myself. I don't understand why is that an issue in my life. You know, what made me like that? I don't know, you know? And, you know, if God wants to make that known to you, that's great. But many times we don't ever know their source. It's just because we live in a fallen world, and we've all been, dictated or formed by the things that we've experienced, you know, life itself. You know, and things that speak to your heart. I gave an example of some of those things of defilement. Defilement of flesh, we pretty well understand. Defilement of spirit. I'm going to list some of them. And I'm going to go on from there and get with what he's talking about where we go. I mentioned this, the passive spirit last week. You know, there's things that I'm going to name here. You say, oh, good Lord, that's me. Well, okay, probably, because we all experience, these are the major ones, I would say. And you might say, you might see yourself a little bit in one, a little bit in another, right? Because sometimes, but there's dominant things that want to dominate over you. They want to dominate over me, and they're defilements of the flesh and of the spirit. But the Lord wants to bring cleansing to us. He promises cleansing as we turn away from them, all right? A lot of times we call these things personality traits, but they don't have anything to do with personality, right? I gave you a warning last week, and you do with it what you want to do with it, but don't get pigeonholed into what the world calls personality. Don't get pigeonholed in that. You know, and then as a result of that, you learn how to live with it because you say, that's me. You say, that's me. When your inheritance is that conformity to Jesus. Okay, I mentioned this. I will mention again here real quick as we go on here. These fruits of the Spirit, they belong to you and they belong to me and the Lord Jesus. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They belong to you. They're fruits of the Spirit. When I welcome the Holy Spirit and I yield to the Holy Spirit, say, come you, I yield to you, come take control of this, Lord God. Take control of me. Then that's where the manifestation of these fruits come from. We like to departmentalize these things and say, I need patience. You know, we think the Lord gives it under our control. He'll never give it under your control. It's a fruit that you bear. It's a fruit you bear by the Holy Spirit taking control. What you and I have to do is surrender. We surrender. He takes control. And as He takes control, these fruits are being made manifest. You don't create them. You don't discipline yourself for them. You don't make them. You bear them. They're the fruits of what? Of the Holy Spirit. That's what they're fruits from. When He comes and takes occupation, when we give invitation to take occupation, then the Holy Spirit begins to take occupation. Now, let me just simply say to you that that's not magical. It may not happen overnight. There may be works involved in the heart and the mind that you and I don't understand or not really fully aware of. Sometimes He has to turn our hearts away from things. Sometimes He has to cause us to come to the place of saying a stronger no, if you understand what I mean. Sometimes we have to get miserable before we ever get happy. Right? I'm not excusing it anymore. And I can't live with it either. I'm not excusing it anymore. And I can't live with it either. And then you begin to cry out to God. And this is the way transformation comes. This is where the changing transformation power of God comes. It may be looking like you're wrestling with it. In a way, you are wrestling with it. But you're wrestling with it with a faith-filled heart that allows Him to come in and transform it. I'll just mention a few of these. You know, and they become dominant things that are of a positive nature, but they have a destructive nature when they dominate. I've named 9 of them. You know, I mentioned the passive spirit. That's all good to be passive in certain ways, but then when it becomes an interference in the expression of you. You know, the quiet one. You know, when I think about this, I think of my dad. You know, my dad, I never knew what he felt. I never knew what he thought. When I was a little boy, I didn't think he cared. That's not good, is it? But you see the negativity of it? Maybe it's good to be quiet in some things, but in other ways it's not good to be quiet. You know, the quiet man, he has a problem showing his emotions, you know, and many times that he is misinterpreted. You know, the diplomat, always wanting to be a peacemaker. It's good to be a peacemaker, but one of the problems of a peacemaker when it becomes dominant is that he has a hard time making stands on truth and righteousness where he needs to. The outspoken spirit, you know, this one tends to be domineering or controlling in nature, but in many times they are apersonalities with a lot of leadership qualities. There's good, there's negative. You know, this is what it talks about when we read these things right here, when it says, let us cleanse ourselves, you know, from all defilement of flesh and of spirit. I'm going to go on. The confronter, you know, the confronter, don't you? You know, the confronter always sees everything in black and white. It's either right or it's wrong, and there's nothing that is in between. You know, I have a hard time giving grace to others, and many times they are brutally honest. Emphasis on the brutal. Right? There's good, but there's negative. The denier, avoidance at all cost. The denier has a hard time having honest conversations. At times you need to have honest conversations, right? You know, so problems and issues are hard to work out because they don't ever want to talk about. That's the denier. You know, then there's the angry man or woman, either way, right? And I'll just read this to you right here, is that anger is a mask to cover deep hidden insecurities. You know, it's a response to being intimidated by something that appears to be out of their control. It's not a strength. Now see, the world sees it as a strength, but God sees it as a shame. God sees it as a weakness. The angry man, the violent man, you know, is looked upon as being strong, but not in God. I tell you who was a real man. His name was Jesus. That was a real man right there. His characteristic attributes is being a real man. All right? The wounded spirit, you know, I really grieve in my heart for the wounded spirit. I'm going to call it something else, the rejected spirit. The wounded spirit of the rejected spirit, you know, is that they're always misinterpreting circumstances and situations. They will walk into a room and see two people talking, and they will in themselves think that they're being talked about. That they thought they must be talking about me. Or someone didn't take the time to say hi in the right way. The way that they think that they should have been said hi. They're mad at me. You know, this is absolutely a terrible bondage for one to suffer in, because they're always being wounded and they're always being hurt and they always feel rejected by others. You know, and we experience those things, but when they're dominant, they become destructive. You know, and then I'm going to name the last one of the nine, and that is the bitter soul. The bitter soul. My goodness, how hard it is away for the bitter soul. You know, they're always getting their feelings hurt. They're overly sensitive. They tend to hold a grudge. They have a hard time not holding grudge. You know, they're ingrained to be critical, judgmental, and they struggle with being vindictive in heart and hard to forgive. Hard to forgive. Those are just naming a few of those things. You know, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and me, and he'll show us the way of those things within our own self and more. I just gave those as examples so that we'd understand what it means. What do you mean when the word says, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh, and then you say spirit? What in the world are you talking about? Hopefully, you've got a little bit of an idea of what we're talking about here in the word of the Lord. You know, it goes on. It says this. It says right here, it says perfecting holiness perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. NIV will use the word reverence, but it's more than reverence in my opinion, but it is the fear of the Lord. If there's anything in my opinion that needs to be restored in the church in such a desperate way, it's the fear of the Lord. I mean, it is the true fear of the Lord. And may I just simply say to you, when I say fear, you know, I know that it is reverence. I know that that's a part of it. But there's just some things it's good to be afraid of. You know, there's just some good things to be afraid of. Oh, no, I'm not letting that door open. Right. You know, oh, no. I mean, I see the evil one. He got his foot in the door and scares the living daylights out of me. Are you with me there? You know, and that's healthy and that's good. You know, he's my God. He's my Lord. You know, I can walk in the fatherhood of God and have such a respect of fear of the Lord both at the same time. You don't have to abandon one to go to the other. Right? You can have both. That's the dynamics of a living God. And he'll bring into your heart and into your life to where, you know, the intimacy of the Lord. He's my God. He's my Lord. And I am the friend of God, you know, and the scriptures teach these things, you know, but also that I can have a true, healthy respect and fear of the holy God that I serve. All right, now, so like, for example, now when you talk about, you know, the holiness of the Lord, you know, in that, you know, we talk about the various things that have to do with the fear of the Lord. Well, and we talk about those things of the holiness of God. You know, we have a holy calling upon us. Do you know that you've been called into holiness, that you have just simply been saved, but the destiny of the Holy Spirit leading you forward is to be a holy person? Let me give you an example. 2 Timothy, listen, 1:9. Who has saved us and called us? Did you hear that? Called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. All right? A holy calling in the Lord. The word holy is the word hagos. I know you've heard that. Hagos, it means sacred. It means holy ones, a lowercase letter. And it means the holy one, you know, the Lord our God. It's the same word for saints. When you read in the epistles and you see where it's addressed to saints, you're either a saint or you're a sinner and you're nothing in between. Now, when I say that, I'm talking about that. What that's a description of is who you are by nature. Are you with me there? That doesn't mean you don't ever sin. We're not talking about that, right? But I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. I love truth. I love righteousness. I love holiness. I love the commandments of God. I love obedience to the Lord. My heart burns to be obedient unto God. I'm ashamed of that which is not of God. You know, and I repent of those sins that are not of God, whether they're in flesh or whether they're in spirit. And why is that? Because I've been changed and I've been transformed and I'm now the saint of Almighty God, not a sinner, simply saved by grace. Okay? You know, that is a falsehood and you need to understand that's false doctrine. It's plain and simple. All right, now, so you need to understand, you know, that when you give your heart to Jesus and on that working out of the holiness of God comes by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that transforming power goes deep, not only to things that are going on outwardly, not only to attitudes and the like, but deep inward things, you know, so that I may bear fruit for God. I may bear fruit for God. What is some of the fruits of holiness? Can I just name a few of them right here that are very obvious, but How about deliverance from things that are not of the Lord? You know, not only that, but healings. Not just the physical healing of my body, but healings. Healings. How about that rejected spirit? Healing, glory to God, to that rejected spirit. That I'll no longer live in that kind of torment. I walk in the door and all of a sudden I feel rejected by the brothers and sisters around me because I have thoughts that go on deep in my heart that say, they must be talking about me. Oh, they didn't say hi to me. They didn't look in my way. Oh, they don't like me. They're mad at me or this or that. What a torment to be lived in. And you don't have to live in it. You don't have to live in it. One of the greatest things of the part woundedness that we're talking about right here, it goes along with it, you know, is when you have self-hatred. Self-hatred. I just hate everything about me. I just hate everything about me. You know, that you can be delivered of, you know. You know, I'd like to be 6'4", right? I'd like to have a 32-inch waist, you know. I'd like to have a full head of hair like Franklin's got over there, right there. You know, but here I am, right? Here I am, right? You know, so the Spirit of God, you know, because the evil one will attack you and attack you in your self-image, and he'll continue to attack you. You don't find self-image in the way of the world by ignoring the things that really need to be dealt with. What you do is you find the true self-image is in Jesus. And that's what we find with the holiness of the Lord. Here's the one that I just want to read this. This scares me, all right? Okay, this scares me. Hebrews 12:14, it says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, that's pretty sobering to me. That's pretty sobering. You can interpret that any way that you want to, but it still doesn't turn out good. Right? It still doesn't turn out. Now, when you say sanctification, it's the exact same Greek word as for holiness. You will find the word holiness and the word sanctification being interchangeable in these type of things. You know, well, I mean, so how important is holiness? What do you mean being afraid? You know, well, that means a healthy respect of the holiness of God because there's just none like him. He is our God. He is our Lord. He is the Lord of all. He is eternal Father. And we owe our allegiance and obedience to him, our God, our Father, our Maker. You know, so yes, we don't live for ourselves. That's to be your own God. We don't live for ourselves. We live for him. No man lives for themselves. That's just the lie of the devil, right? You know, because you're either the slave, and then this goes right on, and I won't read it. I will another time in Romans chapter 6. You know, you're either a slave of sin or you're a slave of righteousness. You have a master. You, no one is their own man. That's called the lie of the devil. I'm my own man. No, you're not. You're a slave to your flesh. You just think you're your own man. But well, true freedom comes in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's where true freedom comes. You know, but let me read on. How about this? We want to talk about something that we talk about. Well, how important is righteousness there? Well, we'll go on to another place right here. Let me read here about these promises. So we're getting down to the nitty gritty here, and I want to do this. Notice that it said, therefore, having these promises. Well, you know, where you see the promise is up here in chapter 6. It's up here in chapter 6. That's where he's coming from. Now listen, what I'm going to read now comes as we cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. That's where these promises come from. Let me go back up here. You go back up here with me. In 2 Corinthians 6, I'm going to go with verse 14. I really should read it all, but I'm not. You know this well. It says, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? You know, a lot of times what we do in the church is we use this as marriage scriptures, right? That's what we do. That's okay. But it means more than just marriage. And the context hasn't got anything to do with marriage, just if you want to really know the truth, okay? All right, but it's all right. It works there. It works because it applies. But it's talking about how you live your life. How you live your life. You know, where you have your relationships. Where you have your fellowships. You know, what you have as the people that you bring near to you and you bring into your life. Best you beware. Best you beware, because the Word of God has given you and I very clear warning right here. And I had a word that came to me. Kathy, I mentioned it to you some time back and I've never even given it. Just a simple little thing. You're not even going to maybe even think it's a word. But it was to me, the Spirit of the Lord just really whoop this thing in me. I thought I was going to speak it that Sunday. I didn't. It didn't come about. And I'm going to give it now. Very simple expression. But I felt a soberness behind it. I felt, give them instructions. And here it is. Treasure your church family. That's it. Treasure your church family. For lack of better words, don't be an attender, be a member. Now, the Word of God doesn't talk about memberships, but anyway, but you know, if you understand what I'm saying, many people are attenders, you know, but I find my life somewhere else. You know, I attend, I'm a part, but I find my life somewhere else. You're not being obedient to God. You're not being obedient to God. That's what the Word says. That's the warning that's being given. Look on. You know, what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? Look at 15. Or what harmony has Christ with, we'll say this, with Belial. Okay. That, you know, and the real pronunciation is Beliar. And Beliar, and the real actual spelling is B-E-L-A-I-A-R, Beliar, Beliar. Lord, and here's the definition, the Lord of the forest, the Lord of the forest, a name for Satan. Now, this is right out of the definition. Listen, right? Here's the definition. It refers to a personification of Satan. What do you mean a personification of Satan? It is personified in the spirit of wickedness, and it's personified in the spirit of rebellion against God. You're walking with the devil. You're making him your friend. Oh, but they're such nice people. Oh, they're so sweet. Let me give you another verse just to, you know, get it out there. 1 Corinthians 15:33 is, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. You won't bring them to God. They'll bring you down. It's like a person going to a church where the Holy Spirit really is not welcome. Wow, God has sent me there to be a light. You know, you are wrong, right? Because that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, come out from them. Come out from them. You're not going to change them. They're going to change you. You'll get to the place where you don't even have any working of the Holy Spirit whatsoever, because there's no welcoming of the Holy Spirit. There's no place for the Holy Spirit, and they really don't believe in the Holy Spirit in any real form or fashion other than in theological definition. And that means nothing. God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. That's not what the Word says. So we need to be aware of these things, and these are traps for us. And that what they keep us from being holy before the Lord. Let me read on a little bit there. And it says, verse 15, or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Verse 16, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? That's amazing, isn't it? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said. Now, here's those promises. Are you hearing me? Because if we walk after the way of holiness, you know, and what we do here is perfectly cleansing ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, he says, these are the promises that you shall reap in your life. Here they are. I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now look at 17. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. 18 says, don't you love this? And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And then I'm going to read right on in, okay? Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Wow. The fear of the Lord, the holiness of God. Now let me give this one thing to you so that you'll hear this. You know what the word perfecting means right there? It means to complete or to accomplish. It means completion. It means to finish. It means perfecting. Perfecting. So this, you understand, you know, our relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ is called a walk. Are you with me there? Right? It's called over and over, all through the New Testament, it's called a walk. And that's what we're involved in the Lord, is a walk. And listen to the great, wonderful blessings that come by being that separate, holy people. We're not talking about becoming snotty, arrogant, right? We're not talking about anything like that. We're not talking about holier now, because that's flesh too. That's flesh too. That's got nothing to do with the real holiness of Almighty God. But we in Jesus, as the people of God, have been called into that holy pathway. You know, and as we walk in that holy pathway, the abundance of these blessings, you know, they're just mentioned kind of like as headings, right? Underneath each one of them, they shall be my people and I shall be their God. But he's talking about you knowing it and you being brought into it in such an intimate way. Right? You know, that's the path of holiness. That's the path of holiness. That's the path of being a saint. That's the path of our Christian fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. Kathy, would you all come on? No. Y'all come on a minute. Praise his holy name. And I want to do something here. And